If you got a Bible, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Just a passage I wanted to read for us these last 2 weeks, and this is just an understanding of responsibility, things that you and I have been given, required. This is just a reminder. This is Jesus talking. This is what he says. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Here's what I want us to see. There are so many ways that you and I have been, that key word, entrusted. We've been entrusted with time. We've been entrusted with talent. We've been entrusted with finances. And just because, okay, just because we have those things, we need to grasp that we are required to do something with those things. Okay, this isn't a plea for you to give finances away. This is a plea for us to be faithful in what God has called us to do. Okay, and that's the key. We have to be faithful because the Bible says when we stand before the Lord, he's going to look at us and he say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's looking for faithfulness. And that's what we need to grasp. This is not, again, a time where I'm like, well, we're signing up for life groups or we're signing up for serve teams or we're signing up for people to come to the Who We Are lunch or we need to talk about offering and red boxes and all these things. That's not the point. The point is that you are a steward of your life. And as you steward your life, there's been things that you've been given and you have to recognize they are things that God has given you. Okay? And when you recognize they're things that God has given you, there is a requirement from you, for you, to give those things away and to live your life, not in just as a hoarder, but as a person, a man, a woman. And listen, teenagers, if you grasp this early in life, something powerful will happen in your life that your parents, other adults will say to you, like, wow, you figured out early. It's incredible. Okay? So again, this is the command of Jesus. This is not in our bylaws. This is not in our statement of, this is Jesus saying, like, listen, we're required. And listen, we want to have a culture where we talk about that, where we talk about responsibility and we talk about requirements and we talk about things that are expected, okay? Especially as we're learning to do this thing called life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for the plans, the purposes that you have for today. God, these are your promises. These are your things that we're talking about. This is what you want to do in our lives. So God, I pray that you would help us. I pray that we would see who you are, what you're doing. God, I pray for those that are in this room that life has hit them. They're distracted. There's things that are going on. God, just pray that you'd help us to see your word, what it is that it's saying, what it is that you're asking of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, a woman was sitting on her living room couch one day when a snake slithered past her. The woman, who was deathly afraid of snakes, dashed to the bathroom to get her husband, who was in the shower. He grabbed a towel, put it around his waist. He grabbed a broom, and the wife then went into the bedroom and locked the door, because that will help. The husband took the broom, using the handle, tried to get the snake out from under the couch. The family dog woke up, and this is why you don't have one, and wondered what all the commotion was about. He touched his cold nose to the back of the man's bare foot. The man jumped, thinking he'd been bitten by a snake, and he passes out. The wife, not hearing any more sounds from the living room, came to see what was going on. Believing that her husband had a heart attack, she ran outside and called 911. The ambulance drivers arrived, ran into the house, placed the husband on a stretcher. As they were carrying the man out of the house, the snake came out from under the couch. One of the attendants, who was also deathly afraid of the snake, dropped the stretcher and ran. The husband fell off the stretcher, broke his arm. The wife, seeing the broken arm and the snake going out the door, fainted. It was just one of those days. Have you ever had one of those days? This is who Peter is writing to. People who are having their worst day. They're affected by sin. They're affected by death. They're affected by attitude. They're affected by businesses being burned down. They're affected by their names being slandered. They're affected by relationships being destroyed. And he says to them, behold, there is great joy ahead, but before you get to the best day, you're going to have to go through these trials. This is what he's saying. And these are moments when you lose in life, where you have a loss in life, where you have a death of something in life, and it's how we learn in losing that matters the most. Because when you win, you also have to learn how to win. Because when you win, if you have no perspective of losing, you'll never appreciate the winning. You'll never appreciate the great days unless you can understand the value and what to learn in the hard days. And this is who Peter's writing to. He's also writing to a group of people who have no church background. They're pagans. They've been not raised in Christian homes. They don't have anything to compare it to. They don't have this moment in their life. Well, do you remember when you were young? They don't have any of that. They don't have any of those moments. They don't have any time where they can come back. And so listen, when Peter's writing, what he's really saying is, you and I are without excuse. We are without excuse to following what Jesus has asked us to do. We're without excuse because it's so simple. We so many times play more ignorant than we are. Well, I didn't know any better, and well, I wasn't raised this way. Or listen, in your job or in your sports or for the men that hunt, when you don't know, what do? You find out. You research. You Google. You buy. You spend lots of money on, all in what? An attempt to become better at something. Listen, if the enemy knows that, what do you think he's trying to distract you from becoming better in? Hunter or follower of Jesus? Your sport, your job? Listen, if we're going to be diligent in becoming better in those things, why are we with excuse in becoming the men and women that God called us to be? You are without excuse. We are without excuse in playing this game of like, oh, I just didn't even know. Yeah, you do know. We do know. And this is what he says. Listen, when it gets crazy and life gets crazy, this is when we find out. This is when we appreciate. This is when we respond in a different way. This is what he says. Read verse 15. Or I'll read 14. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in, you said, everything. That's a big word. Do you have kids or maybe a spouse that gets kind of dramatic? You always do this. You never do that. And you're like, that's a bit dramatic. I mean, always do that. Never do that. This is like a daily conversation in someone's house that lives on Longview. It's like oh my gosh, you're always like that. It's like, always might be a little, what is that? That is a dramatization, you being dramatic in trying to make a point. This is what Peter is saying. He's saying, listen, there's not a call just to holiness. There's a call to holiness in everything you do. Why is that? Because you and I compartmentalize things. Well, I can be this here and I can be this here. He's saying, no. You're without excuse. You must be holy. Not because, he says, because you need to be. Oh, it's just cool to be holy. Or, wow, it's a good achievement. He says, no, you to be holy just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. Illinois driver's license examiner told about a teenager who had just almost driven a perfect test in his exam. He made one mistake, said the examiner. When he stopped to let me out of the car after breathing a sigh of relief, the boy said, sure glad I don't have to drive like that all the time. Now, someone who's about to have a son take his driving test, that scares the bejesus out of me, okay? I don't know what bejesus is, but okay. But isn't that how we sometimes live? I compartmentalize when I'm holy, when I'm not holy, when I say what I want to say, when I don't want to say what I, all within who I'm around, what environment it is, how I act. We do that, and this is not what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you have to be holy, and holy is difficult because it's different, it's set apart, and the Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says that you got to work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. What's he saying? It's going to take work. Work to live at peace with everyone. Why? Because people that you surround yourself with are crazy. Your family is crazy. Your employees, your work environment, there's some people there, they're just straight up crazy. And he's saying, you got to work at living at peace with them. And you got to work at living a holy life. Why? Because it doesn't come natural. It's not like we wake up and go, today's going to be holy. I'm going to do it. It's going to be great. But God desires a pursuit from us to be holy. And this is where the battle rages. Our hearts, our minds, our wills. This is the battlefronts of our lives to live a holy life, to be separate. And this is why habits are so important. This is why instinct is so important. Perhaps the most powerful part of our lives is that box of mental auto choices that we call habits. Many things become habits. Neatness, responsibility, politeness, smoking, being late, overeating, being messy, many things. 21 straight days, some of you, things have been ingrained in your mind, your heart, your life for a longer, so it's going to take more than 21 days. It's going to take you longer. I'm 70, 80 years old in this room, and I've done the same thing, all these things, and I need to break that habit. It's not going to take you 21 days. It's going to take you a lot longer. Why? Because it's repetition of doing these things. And I think we take this stance of like, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing it. I'm just done with it. It's like, no, I got to be disciplined. I got to do these things. Craig Groeschel says this. You want to be someone who cares? Write one note of appreciation each day. You want to be a person that is organized? Start with making your bed every day. You want to be a godly example to your teen? Start reading a Bible plan together. And there is an app for that, by the way. You want to be focused? Start your day with a list of priorities. You want to be a person who is healthier? Stop drinking soda. You want, based on who you want to become, what one habit do you need to start? Stop saying you need to do something when there's no action to the plan. And this is what he's saying. And this is Psalms 101. This is what we're reading. David writing in Psalm chapter 1 or chapter 101. This is what he's saying. There's 8 verses in this passage. And this is what David's doing. This is what he's saying. Lord, I will sing about your faithful love for me. My song of praise, you have your justice as its theme. I'm trying my best to walk in the way of integrity, especially in my own home. David's recognized it's hard to be a follower of Jesus in my own home. Right? Anybody else? But I need your help. I'm wondering, Lord, when will you appear? God can answer your honest questions. And he can handle them. He can handle your honest questions. Your spouse can't. God can. No? Okay. All right. I refuse to gaze on that which is vulgar. I despise what is evil. And everything that moves my heart away from you, I will not let evil hold me in its grip. Every perverse and crooked way I have put away from my heart. For I will have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. I will silence those who secretly walk to slander my friends. And I will not tolerate the proud and arrogant. My innermost circle will only be those whom I know are pure and godly. They will be the only ones I allow to minister to me. There's no room in my home for hypocrites. And I can't stand chronic liars who flatter and deceive. At each and every sunrise, I will wake to do what's right and put to silence those who love wickedness, freeing God's people from their evil grip. I will do all of this because of my great love for you. He said, I will 9 times. What is that? That is the song we just sang. I will build my life. I will put my trust. What is this? This is, I will do this. This is not you nudging your neighbor. This is not you living a life through someone else. This is you making a decision. You making a conscious effort, a habit, forming it, putting it into play, surrounding yourself with the right people, telling them this is what I will do. When it's times where you don't feel like God's faithful, I will sing of your faithful love. It's you deciding enough is enough. And nobody can decide that for you. Nobody can say to you, enough is enough, and you believe it. You have to decide. You have to go, you know what? I'm done. Because David understood habits start with personal choices. And David understood habits are powerful. So here's what he said. These 6 quick things. David sought personal integrity. Listen, for you and me, we need to make this personal. This has to become personal. If you're a woman in this room, this can't be what your husband does. It's got to be personal. If you're a man in this room, this can't be, oh, I do this because it's what my wife does. No, 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 no. This has to become personal for you. You have to decide that today I will behave in such a way. And not only that, I'm going to make it personal. And because I'm making it personal, I don't care who knows. I don't care what I have to personal to live a life of integrity. And I will ask people to hold me to be accountable. I will ask people to ask me the hard questions. I will do this because I am making a personal goal of personal integrity. I'm also making a personal pact of holiness to myself. Listen to what he says. New King James says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You know what a personal pact is? It's a vow. You know what a vow is? Most of us don't. You know why? Because it's so easy to break it. You know what a vow is to God? A vow to God is something that back in the day, what you said mattered. I'm not saying it doesn't mean that today. I'm just saying it's very loose interpretation today. You know why it's a loose interpretation? Because you and I have been lied to, and we've done the lying, okay? I didn't just say we've been lied to because it's super easy to become victims. It's super easy to become this victim mentality, and everything bad happens to me when sometimes, let's be real, we're the ones doing the bad. So let's not pretend that we've just been lied to. We've done some lying. That's why David, the first two things he says, in the first three verses, he's saying, I will make it personal. A life of integrity, a life of holiness. I will do this. And then David says, what he says, scrape off anything displeasing from you. Listen to what he says. And I will hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. What's David saying? David's saying, I'm making a choice. And the choice that I'm making is there anything in my life that displeases you? And when I know that what I'm doing displeases you, I'm not going to allow it to be a part of my life. So for some of us in this room, that is us getting really harsh with some of the things that we're clinging to. Like really harsh. Some of you, you need to cancel cable. Oh my gosh, is he anti-TV? Absolutely not. I'm not anti-TV, but for some of you, it's very difficult and you're clinging to it. Because you're clinging to it, it displeases the Lord. Well, that stinks. Why can't it be like that for everybody? Because not everybody goes through the exact same things. But it's when we want to live in a way that thinks that we can get through something because somebody else is doing it, we're not making it personal. We're now making it general. Right? We're making it general. We can't stop sinning, but I also can't, I have to stop soaking in it. I have to stop persisting in sin. This comes back to Luke. When he says, listen, now that you know, you're responsible. You know what are dangerous to you. You know the things that are in your life that are dangerous. You know the men and women in your life that you know I need to break away from them because it's not healthy that I'm around them. I'm not becoming a better person. I need to break away from these things, and you need to make it personal. David also says that he's choosing to limit his exposure to evil. He says, I, perverse heart, shall not depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, listen, him I will destroy. David is like, I am getting some righteous, holy anger up in here. And some of you are like, that seems a little graphic. Like, is holy anger such a thing? Holy wrath such a thing? There is a big difference. The Bible is clear. Don't make it personal with the person. See the sin, not the person. Okay? You need to get a holy anger towards sin, and that sin in our own life, and that sin in the life of others. But the moment we make it about the person, we're missing the point. And so now you have groups that will rise up and be like, I'm so mad at this group, and I'm so mad at this group. It's, no, don't do that. Be mad at the sin. It's a little different. And now we're divided, right? We're dividing all these things, and it's like politics and Democrats and Republicans and all these things. And it's like, no, no, no. You're separating people and sin. We're all, but for the grace of God, we're in the same spot. Okay? Let's not miss that. Picketing never won anybody to Jesus. I'm just throwing that out there. Soak on it if you want. Be mad at me. Send Sean an email if you want. I don't care. He's saying, listen, this will not endure, this wickedness. I'm putting a stop to it. You know what else David had that I think we need to talk about? Influence. I guess my question to us would be, what kind of influence do you have? All right? What kind of influence do you have in the lives of the people around you? In the sense that when you say something, how is it taken? This is a personal question. This is a responsibility question. When you speak, do people roll their eyes? When you speak, do people turn a deaf ear? When you speak, do people listen? Do people take notice? Is there credibility? And when you talk, is there things that people go, oh, I want to hear what she has to say, or I want to hear what he has to say, or is, oh, here's another story. What is your credibility? What is your influence? These are all things that matter. And this is what David's getting at. David's getting at this life of holiness, this life at working at living at peace, this life at working at living holy. All of it comes back to influence, integrity, character, all of these things. Because listen, if we're not living a life of character, then who's actually David sought proper? David, fifth thing, verse 6, David sought proper heroes. Men that could speak into his life and tell him the important things, the right things, the hard things. Be careful who we look up to. Be careful who you allow to speak in your life. Do you know that you can decide who you allow to speak in your life? And do you know that you need to decide that? You need to decide that. There are people that try to speak in my life, and you know what? I don't remember them. Not because I'm arrogant, not because they don't matter, but I don't think it's godly, wisely advice. And so thus, I'm not remembering and I'm not listening. I give permission to people to speak into my life. And most of the time, I need to be intentional when I allow someone to speak in my life. Meaning, you go to the person and you say to the person, you're a mentor, you're a hero, you're someone in my life that I glean from. I love the character of your life. I want you to speak into my life. And now I'm giving you, I will give you permission to speak into my life. Well, what is that? Now I'll receive it. When they come to me and they say, Jamie, you are being such a tool right now, I can't go, who the heck do you think you are? And they come back with, well, you're the guy that gave me permission. So now I'm receiving it. What is that? That's personal. This is what David is saying. Choose wisely the men and women that speak into your life. And then the last thing he says is, his plan is to purge evil. To get rid of evil. There's a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 19. You can turn there if you have a Bible. So old school today, or flip over to your YouVersion app. And there's verse 11 that says this, that's not on the screen, but I thought this was very interesting. It says this, and God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Like, I think this is a moment where it says God gave power to Paul to perform miracles. Like, we would have just looked right past it. He didn't say that. He said, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you're like, what's happening to me is unusual? Like, this is weird, what's happening. He's saying, God, so Paul is going about. So when we read that first, the story of what happened spread quickly all throughout Ephesus. What's he saying? Well, that begs the question of, like, what happened? What happened? Looking at verse 12 through 18, you'll see that there's magicians who are going around doing magic tricks, and people are like, this is really cool. Then Paul comes around, and he starts doing these miracles, and they were unusual. And in doing these unusual miracles, the magicians come to Paul and be like, we like what you have. And the Bible says that an evil spirit says, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who the heck are you? This is what he's saying, like, who are you? And it says the story of what happened spread quickly all throughout the region. And then it continues, Jews and Greeks alike, solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored, and many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought in their magic books, and they burned them bonfire style
let's get out the s'mores. They burned them, and it says they're worth millions of dollars. What in the world just happened? Paul's doing unusual miracles. Evil is triumphing. Paul comes around, does these unusual miracles, and people are like, I want what he has. This is incredible. Do you want to know why the church in Acts grew 3,000 daily? Because they made integrity, holiness, and living a life that pleases God a priority. So much that the evil spirits even said, we know Jesus and we know Paul. Who are you? What is that? When Hebrews 12:14 says, only those that live holy will see the Lord, he's saying, when we choose holiness, when we choose to live a life of purity and integrity and character, not only will we see the Lord, we will be able to see the mighty works that the Lord does. And hear this, because I'm making a personal vow of holiness, I get to see it personally. I get to see and be a part of what God is doing on the earth personally because I'm living a life of integrity. And it says, not just that I get to, but it says the whole region, the whole area, the word of what happened spread quickly. What would happen if you and I made a pact, made a decision that I will live a life of holiness. I will do what God's asked me to do. And now all of a sudden, God is showing up at your work, in your home, at your places of business, the places where you're spending time with people and you don't have the answer. Now God is showing up and you're giving them hope and you're giving them the answer. And now all of a sudden, all across the region, people are going and the stories are happening of what God is doing, not because your name is great, not because what you did is great, but because of holiness. See, I think I want people in my life to get saved. Like, I want it. I want my friends to know the Lord. I want, and I think if I asked you individually, hey, do you guys want your people at your work to give their lives to the Lord? Hey, any family members you need to give your life to the Lord? Like, I think we generally go, yeah, I think I want that. I think that would be awesome. It's like, but I have the key of being a part of that. And the key to being part of that is making it personal, so that when I make it personal, now it flows out of my life and it doesn't just affect me personally. People around me see it. What is that? That's saying holy things. It's living a holy life, and that starts with holy habits. Ephesians 4 says it this way. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know what he says? He says, first and foremost, take off the old nature. Take off who you used to be. Take off that. Throw it off is actually how the NLT says it. Throw it off. What's he saying? He's saying, as quick as possible, you need to throw this off. Well, what is that? Let's get graphic for a second. If I throw off my old nature, now I'm bare before the Lord. Now I'm exposed before the Lord. Now there's no hidden secrets. Now there's no doubt. There's no questions. This is who I am. Everything, every lie that I've ever committed, it now can be contradicted because I'm standing there bare before the Lord. When I take off something, now something is exposed. And you and I get, like, we don't want our deepest secrets. We don't want them to be exposed. He says, listen, when you get before the Lord and you throw them off, and he doesn't just say, throw off your clothes, and he ends it with an exclamation point or a period. He doesn't just say that. He says, no, do it. And when you do it, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to renew your attitude so that when you put on the new clothes, you could be different. You'll look different. You'll act different. You'll feel different. You'll talk different. Your attitude will be different. What is it? What is it? It's got to be a shedding. There's got to be a renew in my thinking, and there's got to be a new wearing. And he doesn't just leave us one without the other. He says it's got to be these three things. And when these three are coming and saying, well, all of a sudden, it's not just that I'm living a life of holiness. It's that men and women are coming and saying, what happened? What changed? What is so different? They're asking questions about your life. And it's not because you need to be famous. It's not because you need your name needs to be great, but because it is Jesus' fame. And nobody understood this better than David. Nobody understood this better than David. He's writing Psalm 101, but he's also knowing, if I get away from these habits, if I get away from these habits and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong motives, I'm going to see something I should have never seen. I'm going to head down a life of misery. And that is exactly what happened. He's supposed to go to war. He doesn't go to war. Because he doesn't go to war, he's at home. And because he's at home, he looks out his window. Because he looks out his window, he sees a woman naked. And because he sees a woman naked, his desire is lust. It's not holiness. And he looks out and he says, I want that. And because he's king, he gets that. And because he gets that and he tries to hide that, he murders someone. Where did it start? Where did it start? Because we know the end result. We know the consequences. We know the consequences of death. And we know the consequences of losing life. And we know the consequences of murder. But it didn't start there. He's in the wrong place because he didn't choose to head down the path of habits. He chose to head down a path of evil. And it's no different with us. Sure, you may not be looking out the window, but some of you are in the wrong place right now. And it's only a matter of time before you look out. This is a daily practice of I wills. I will. This has to be I will. I will build my life. I will put my trust. It has to be you making the decision. Nobody can make it for you. Oh, I like it when someone else makes it. It's not going to work that way. It's not. This is you making the decision. I will live holy, even if everybody else around me is not. I will talk different, even if everyone around me is not. I will act different. I will be like the salmon who travels thousands of miles on their way home only to be risking their life as a fish. You can watch it. National Geographic. You can watch the life of a salmon going back home, most of which is destroyed by bears and birds. Why? Because they're risking. They're going against the flow. There's risk involved when you are different, when you are set apart. There's made fun of. There's people laughing at you. There's people saying you're weak. There's people saying, why don't you choose a different path? There's all of these things. People will always bully you. It'll never change. There'll always be persecution. It'll always happen. He's saying, you are set apart. You are whole. You will have to decide. You will. You will. God, today, we've heard your word that says we must choose holiness because you are holy. And the scriptures say, be holy, for you are holy. And so, God, we choose holiness because you are holy. We choose good character because you are a God of character. You are a God of integrity. And God, we want to be like you. And we know life gets in the way. We know that we're tainted. We know that we're contaminated with this world and things that have happened. And so, but today, God, we will choose purity. We will choose holiness. We will choose to trust in the name that is greater than any other name. And God, that is our prayer. That is our prayer. Name of Jesus. If you're in this room today, you just say, you know what? There's some things that I'm struggling in. They displease the Lord. They're not right. You might even say, it might be a secret to your best friend. It must be a secret to your spouse, but it is no secret to the Lord. And if you genuinely desire holiness, purity in this room today, then it becomes I will do something about this. And honestly, yes, it starts with you talking to the Lord, but it does not end there. If you're in this room today and you just say, you know what, I got to get some things right. There's some things I'm messing up on, and I just know it. The Lord knows it. I got to change some things. I got to start down this path. New habits. If you're in this room and that's you, can you just lift a hand? Let me just pray for you. It's between you, me, and the Lord. I just want to know who I'm praying for. It's just you being honest before the Lord. Yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. Thank you for your honesty. Most of you, I can't even see anyway because of these lights, so you're fine. God, you see every hand lifted. God, you see the hearts of the men and women saying, Lord, I want to please you. I want to please you. I want to do everything I can to live a life of holiness and integrity. God, would you help me? God, thank you that that is what David prayed. Lord, would you help me? And we can call on your name and you are there to answer us. In our brokenness, we find you. In our times of losing, you show up. So God, I pray for every person with a hand lifted. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give them strength. Give them strength today. In Jesus' name. I wanted Casey to sing this chorus, just as a declaration. But as she sings, if you're in this room and you just go, you know what, I'll take it a step further. I just want someone to pray with me. I want someone to just, that I can talk to real quick and just ask you as she sings to maybe take some of you, this is a bold step out from where you're at, out from where you're sitting. Come down. There'll be somebody here to pray with you. And it's not because they're more holy than you are. It's just that they're willing. They're willing to pray with you. So if you're in this room, as she sings this song and the rest of us stand, if you would, I'm going to invite you to come. If you need someone to pray with you,